festival for all the fun and festivity with Flannel Fest and with the coffee and cocoa bar and the Mo Mugs, and we thank them for that. Plus, Pastor Dave and I are sporting flannel stoles this morning, and I understand that Deb Haugen and Cheryl Miller lovingly created these with their own two little hands. So we thank them for that gift. Quite often I begin my sermon with the greeting that we heard in 1 Corinthians in the first reading as Lindsay read it, and I'm going to start with that, but I'm going to carry it through verse 4. People of God, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given to you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, today's story from John's Gospel is full of revealing images and thought-provoking questions. And once again, we hear of John the Baptist pointing beyond himself to Jesus. John must have known very well that to speak to his own followers about Jesus was an invitation, really, for them to leave and go follow Jesus. Yet still, John did it. There was no jealousy in John. After all, he had been born for this purpose, to connect others with Jesus. And so when John sees Jesus coming toward him, he declares, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Taking John's message to heart, John's two disciples that are with him began following Jesus at that very moment. Now, we don't really have a lot of certainty about how these disciples approached Jesus. Maybe they were a little timid and shy and followed from a respectful distance, hoping to gain our Lord's attention. But Jesus does what he does best. When he turns and sees they are following him, he meets them with an invitation. He makes it easier for them to connect with him, opening the way to come closer and share in the beginning of a new relationship. How does our Lord do this? He simply asks a question and he says, "What are you looking for?" Right away, we have a fine example of how our Lord God always behaves in relationship to us. God takes the first step. When we begin to seek God, when we sense a longing for God, God meets us more than halfway. In fact, God goes out of his way to meet us. St. Augustine was a great teacher in the early church, and he once said, "We cannot begin to seek God unless God has already found us." When we turn our hearts and minds, when we turn our lives toward God, we don't turn toward one who hides himself or keeps at a safe distance. When we begin to look for God, we know that we're going toward the one who's already standing waiting for us, who's taken the initiative to come and meet us on the way. Jesus met his interested followers that day with an invitational question. What are you looking for? This was a very relevant question to be asking in Palestine at this time, because our Lord wanted to know what kind of motivation did these two have in seeking. Were they legalists, like the scribes and Pharisees who only wanted to argue over the law? Were they ambitious, like zealots, seeking out a political savior or military champion who could smash the power of Rome, like so many zealots aspired to? Maybe they were humble men of prayer, truly seeking God and God's will for their lives. before. Maybe they were just puzzled, searching men seeking a guiding light to guide them through the troubles of life. Well, when it comes right down to it, we'd all do well to ask ourselves, what am I looking for? What is my goal for living? What's my aim? What am I trying to get out of life? Is my aim in life only that of seeking security? Maybe putting aside enough savings to ensure that I have a stable future? Not that this is a bad aim, it's just maybe a low aim, an inadequate thing toward which to direct all of our energy in life. For in the end, we know that nothing is absolutely safe and secure in this world of constant change. In our youth, perhaps our aim in life is seeking a successful career that will be rewarding, one that promises to fit the talents that I believe I have and will give me a secure future. Again, this is not a bad aim, unless this aim is solely for personal gain, with little or no interest in serving others. For in the end, no matter what aim we have in life, such aspirations are ultimately limited by time and by the whims of the world. Jesus reminded us long ago that those who live life for their own sake will lose true life, but those who live for Jesus' sake gain true and everlasting life. So, friends, what are you looking for when you pray to God, when you gather on a morning such as this with God's people in worship, when you receive the sacrament of Holy Communion, when you make efforts to live according to what God's plan is for your life? What is it that you hope you'll get? Well, much to the credit of the disciples we read about today, when Jesus presented them with the question, "What are you looking for?" they simply responded with a question of their own. "Rabbi, where are you staying?" Implying they didn't just want to speak with Jesus for a moment or two alongside the road. No, they wanted to linger with the Lord. They wanted to talk out their heartfelt questions in a lasting conversation with him. Friends, there's a great lesson to be learned in this. We're not to be satisfied with having a passing acquaintance with Jesus. The aim for any follower of our Lord is to linger, and to linger long, in a lasting relationship with him that carries us through a lifetime. The way in which our Lord Jesus responds to the question of those first disciples really says it all. Rather than tell them, for example, "Well, I'm staying down the street at the Bethsaida Inn," Jesus gives an inviting invitation. "Come and see. Come and see." How spontaneously we think of a child interrupting parents or grandparents with that same invitation. "Come and see, Mom and Dad. Come and see, Grandpa, Grandma. See the snow fort I just made. See how well I can throw this ball. Come and see." What a fantastic, inspirational, invitational message those simple words call to mind when Jesus says them. Come and see. Come and see what our Lord Jesus has done and continues to do, the one whose voice of truth has inspired people throughout the ages. Come and see the changed lives who, because of Jesus, are set free. Come and see families rebuilt, outcasts embraced, the hungry being welcomed and fed. Come and see the nail-pierced hands of God touching the most broken of hearts, wiping tears from grief-stained faces, and offering a loving embrace to the most guilt-laden of sinners. Come and see the cross, once occupied, now vacant. Come and see the grave, once sealed, now empty. Come and see the one who avoids no seeker, nor objects to any questions or doubts about him, but replaces fear and uncertainty with rock-solid assurance of his presence, of his peace. Come and see for yourself Jesus. Friends, this is not an invitation to simply observe Jesus from afar. It wasn't then, nor is it now. Instead, hear this invitation from our Lord Jesus as a calling to entrust your whole life to the promise that there is still one who wants to be a Savior for you, for me, for this world of ours. We live in a world, you see, filled with people who don't choose to see Jesus, or who choose to remain in denial that Jesus can even be real, while still others look for Jesus in all the wrong places. So today's message reminds each of us to keep our spiritual antenna up. Expect to see Jesus in our daily lives. And when we encounter him, let's share our experience. It all begins with a simple invitation. Come and see. I just met Jesus. Let me tell you all about it.